I love coming over here, obviously, for
one reason mainly.
And that name is Lauren Larson.
But it is appreciated that y'all are here and serving your Lord and Savior, but then serving with your pastor. And I know he's a good guy, somewhat. But anyway, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna talk tonight. We'll be in several different places, but again, I just want to kind of give you just kind of an update as to what we're doing at the moment. Obviously, Lauren's about to graduate and everything, and that's a blessing. We're excited for that. But at the moment, you know, where we're serving up there at college on the weekends, we're on a bus route every time on the north side of Chicago. And, you know, talk about Lauren, you know, playing the piano and singing and all that, but she does so much more than that. She's knocking doors and she's walking, you know, the streets of Chicago, witnessing to people and getting people to come to church. So I want you to know, you know, your own homegrown people, they're doing what the Lord wants them to do. And I just want to thank the Lord and praise him for a little bit, just all he's done in my life. Of course, I praise him for salvation. I mean, where would we be without him and the sacrifice he gave? But again, all that he's done since then to bring me and all of us, I think we can relate to where we are today. And in a great church like this one, and I think of my church back home where I grew up, and then even where we're at right now, we just ought to praise the Lord. We ought to spend some time thinking about that. And I definitely want to give him the glory for that. And just how long-suffering he is to me, I just want y'all to know I'm thankful that my God is long-suffering to me. And there's no way that, you know, I would put up with myself if I was in his place. So I'm just so grateful for him and all he's done in our life. But again, especially for Lauren, I would not be truthful to you guys if I didn't say that God has used her to bring me to a point where I would surrender to his call to missions and all these different things. And even just week in, week out, serving him to what he's called me to do, it's in large part to her, and that's why I'm marrying her. She's something I can't live without. So I just want to tell you all that in case you're wondering. But we're going to go ahead and get in to a sermon, a thought really that I preached as kind of a devotion to ones that I lead on the bus routes up there in at college. But I'm just thankful for this opportunity to kind of expand it a little bit. And hopefully, my one objective is to help you. And hopefully that the God's Spirit will help us do that. So I'm excited. We're going to go to Revelation. So if you want to start heading there, Revelation chapter 20. And this is really... The main point of this is honestly, it's a thought or something that the Lord had me meditating on, thinking about, that really got me moved. And it got me moved in the area of soul winning, of witnessing, of realizing that, truthfully, if God didn't want us to witness, if God didn't want us to win every single person we come in contact with, he would have taken us home as soon as we got saved. He would have taken us right to heaven. There's no point in leaving us down here but for one reason, and that's to win others and bring them to him. And I just think, well, God, if that's my one priority, that's my one objective, my one reason why you've left me here, I don't think I'm doing what I ought to. And he really hit me with a thought that starts here in Revelation 20, and you're probably familiar with it if you've been in church for any period of time, but we'll read it. I'm just going to read the passage, and then I'm going to ask you to use your imagination for a little bit. And I think God's going to convict us, and he's going to help us through it. Well, we'll start here, and this is where John is getting this revelation from the Lord, and he's seeing these things that God's showing him. And it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Again, I love the emphasis. We have a great God. Heaven and earth fled away. I want you to keep going in verse 12. "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I want you to really focus in on something. Not only that this passage is very important and powerful, but the fact that it's eternal. There was a cutoff. Whosoever was cast in the lake of fire. I want you to think about this. I don't know if this is the way it happened. You'll have to give me a little bit of license here. I'm not trying to add words to the scripture, but I'm trying to provoke you to think. I want you to think, if there ever was a point in time where God sat down his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, and he sat him down and said, "Son, I want to tell you about something. I want to tell you about something that me being the all-knowing God, the all-knowing creator, something that I see every single moment, something that's always on my mind, and that is the great white throne judgment." I want you to think, maybe there was a time, maybe there he went, and he said, there's a problem. There's a problem because at some point, when it's all going to be over, there's going to be no more chance for anyone to come to heaven and live with me. He said, at some point, it's over. The former things are passed away, as it talks about in the next chapter. He says, at some point, there will be no more chances for the lost to be saved and to have eternal life, have that free gift that he wants to give to everybody. God is not willing that any should perish. We already know that, right? But let's, maybe he sat him down and he said, son, every single moment I see millions and billions of people that I've created, that I've formed before they were formed in the belly, I knew them. Those are the people I've created for a specific person. I love them just as much as I love you, my only begotten son. Maybe he said, there's all these people, I see them, I see their faces, I see what their lives could be. I see what I meant them to be. And I see them getting cast into a lake of fire. I see them being forever, forever separated from me. I see the exact opposite of what my will is, the exact opposite of what I want to happen. I see that happening, and it plays over my mind all the time because I'm the all-knowing creator, the sovereign God. Maybe he said, Jesus, that's a problem. They're lost, they're going to hell. I can see them. If nobody does anything, they're all going to be lost. They'll never be with me. My will not be fulfilled. Maybe he said that, and I can just imagine. Jesus Christ is listening to this. He loves his Father. We can relate to that. We love our fathers. We love the ones that are our parents. Maybe he heard that and he said, well, Lord, I'll go. If you need me to be a sacrifice, if you need something to happen so that those people can be in heaven with you, I'll go. Maybe that happened. Just think about it in your mind, and I hope you are doing it. This is what the Lord convicted me about, and it really got me thinking. He said, well, Lord, I'll volunteer, Lord. I'll go. I'll die. You need me to die on a cross? I'll do it. You need me to be obedient unto death? I'll do it. Because your will is not that any should perish. Your will is that they all come to repentance, right? Maybe there was a time like that. And I want you to get back now and get to the scriptures. Just think about that. What if that was us? What if that was us and God the Father was telling us, I need you. I need you to go and be the reason why someone can go to heaven. What if that was us? Amen. That is us. I'm trying to tell you right now, no what ifs. This is us. It's as if God the Father sat us down. I think of the times my dad has sat me down, sometimes for not good reasons, but other times because he wanted to help me. As if God the Father sat next to us on this pew and said, Titus, there's other ones who I love just as much as I love you, and I want them to be in heaven with me just like you're going to be, but they won't be unless you do something. They won't be unless you give some of yourself, you give yourself away, and in our case, witness to them. Bring them through the gospel plan. Tell them how they can be with me. Tell them how they can come to repentance. It's as if God the Father has sat down next to us. He's given us his words. That's right. Sometimes I think in my mind, I'm like, well, okay, but if God actually came down and told me, like in those dreams that I hear about in the Bible, then I would do something. That's faulty thinking. That's foolish thinking. He's given me the only revelation I'll ever get, the only words of God I will ever get in my life are right here. What am I waiting on? That's what I ask myself. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? Nothing else is going to change. They're going to keep going to hell if we don't do something. And so just as Jesus Christ said yes to what God wanted him to do, he said, Father, I'll do what you asked me to do. I'll go all the way till being beaten and tortured and hung on a tree. Not deserving it, but because someone has to do something. Because you've asked me to do something so that these lost can have a chance to go to heaven with you and escape that great white throne judgment. I don't even want to think about all the pain and the wailing and all the tears that'll be shed because of what goes on there at the great white throne. I know that it says in the next chapter, God will wipe away all tears and praise him for that. But sometimes I think in my mind, and maybe all of our minds, we skip over and we say, oh, praise the Lord, we're just going to be, you know, peaceful and all these things. Let's not forget about the fact that there's tears because there's probably people we didn't witness to. There's probably people that we shirked our responsibility and we passed up and we said, I'm not paying attention to them today. And they're going to hell because of our lack of action, because of our lack of obedience. And sometimes I skip over the fact, oh, well, you know, I know Jesus died on the cross, but what if he didn't? What if he did it? I would have no hope. There would be no point. But because of his obedience, I can go to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. I think all of you are on your way to heaven. But for someone else there, call them John Smith, call them, you know, Jane Doe, whatever it is, they have no hope.
That's right.
They're on their way to hell. There's no way it's going to change. And God might have brought you all the way through your whole life to a point where you'll meet them at a Ross. He'll meet you at a BP gas station. You'll meet them at a walk around the park. He's brought them all through their whole life, 45 years, 80 years, 10 years, whatever it is, to a point where your paths intersect. He gives you a chance to do something, to be obedient to something he's already commanded us to do. And we have a choice. We can either obey and change their whole eternal destiny, give them hope, give them life through Jesus Christ, or we can just be indifferent. Or we can be caught up with the cares of this life. Or we can be, maybe not indifferent, but maybe just in the wrong frame of mind, or maybe just some filthiness of our heart or something. So all these things that sometimes catch me. But I don't want that to happen. As I think about that, and I think of the ones who, and again, think about it with me, maybe I'll see them face to face before they're thrown into hell. And I'll recognize them. Maybe I'll recognize them on the streets of North Chicago as I pass by people. And I'm disobedient to God's call to go and tell and reach the lost and to preach the gospel to every creature. Maybe I'll have to see the ones who I was being goofy in a Walmart or something like that, and I didn't even notice that maybe they would have taken a track. Maybe they would have listened to me talk to them about, hey, God's done something great in my life. He's given me a way to go to heaven. I want to give you that way. Maybe I was just too goofy. Maybe I was thinking about something random. Maybe I was thinking about just the cares of this life. Maybe you were thinking about rent, whatever it was. But if all those reasons caused me to miss out on someone who I was supposed to witness to and be the reason why they had hope of eternal life, I think that's terrible. I don't want that to happen. I know you guys don't either. But I think sometimes we have to think about it. We have to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to push aside those things. I'm going to make sure that church time is church time. And I'm going to come and listen to the Word of God because I don't want to be caught up in the cares of this life. Or drunkenness sometimes, as the Bible says, not necessarily with alcohol, but just the frivolities or whatever you would call it, the things that don't matter. I don't want to be caught up with those things. I want to make a difference. I want to be the reason why someone has hope of eternal life. I want to be what Jesus Christ has called me to be, and here's what he called me to be. Turn to Philippians 2:5. He's called me to have his mind, to have the mind of Christ. And I just want you to see it so that you can lay your eyes on the Word of God. It's the power, and there's nothing I can say that'll change your minds or anything, but I know God's Word can. Philippians 2:5, and this is a passage talking about God's will. It says, later on, it says that at the name of, in verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That's what God wants. It says, verse 11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what he wants. That's his ultimate goal. But we see in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ Jesus was to do anything God asked in order that his will, which we know is that the lost come to repentance and the lost come to him and spend eternity with him. The mind of Jesus Christ was that anything God asked him to do to fulfill that will, he would do. That was his mind. He had a goal. He had that purpose. He knew whatever God asked him to do, he would be obedient to it. And God has asked us to follow him, to be like him. It says, let this mind be in you.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that hits me with something. We're not just talking here. We're not just speaking about God's words. We're letting him come into our lives and examine us. If that's what I ought to be, if I ought to be what Jesus was, obedient unto death, you think about yourself. I'm thinking about me right now. I'm not anywhere near that. That's convicting. And that hurts. And it's awkward, and whatever it is you want to call it, but it's needful. Because for me to be here, for me to be in this world, God has left me here for one reason and one reason only, to fulfill his will, which is getting every single person a chance to be in heaven with him. Whether I'm in, you know, it sounds all great, Africa and all these things, whether I'm in Europe or Asia, oh, it's great, you're going to do God's will somewhere else. What about at the gas station? What about when you're walking around? What about the people who come and knock on the door and they're just giving mail or whatever it is? That's a person. That's a soul. That's someone God has brought across your path for a reason. For a reason that in my life I could make a difference for them. God has given that to me. Yet sometimes I just say, well, you know, I'm not God, so whatever. Like, we just take an indifference to it. He says, let this mind be in you. That's what he expects of us. That's an imperative sentence, a command. Let this mind be in you. So we see, and that's what God wants out of us, but so far we're so many times we're so far from that. But I don't want to be that. And anyone else in here, I think you can agree, and I think I know you well enough to say, if we were honest with ourselves, we wouldn't want to remain in a way that's indifferent to lost souls. We wouldn't want to stand before God at the judgment seat and say, well, God, give me a break, man. I was tired from the day of work. I was, you know, worried about my kids or my wife, or I was worried about these different things. I didn't have time to witness to John or Jane or whoever the name is. I don't want to say that when I get to the judgment seat. I don't want to get there when I'm giving account of all that God has given me an opportunity to do. I don't want that. But so many times I don't think about eternal things. I don't think about later on. I just think about the immediate and the cares of this world. And I'm trying to say, let's not do that. Let's actively try to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to push away everything. Maybe it's 5 minutes in between, you know, work shift or on a break or whatever it is. I'm going to say 5 minutes. I'm going to say, you know what, Lord, let me look at a verse of Scripture. Let me just think about all that you've done for me. Let me just say, you know what, I'm not going to think about what McDonald's deal is on the app that I'm going to get in an hour. Let me just think about what soul is around me that I could witness to. And so for us to do that, there's a few things that have to happen, and that's what we're going to talk about. For us to have that mind of Christ, to put away the fleshly mind, which is easy. That's easy. For me to be fleshly is not hard. I'll fall into that like that. That quick. But for me to have the mind of Christ, it's going to take a few things. And just like Jesus Christ, it took him a few things to be obedient and to do what was necessary so that you could have the hope of eternal life. It took a few things. And there's chapters in the Bible describing what those things were. And we could go on and on for hours of all that Christ went through and all the torment and all the hard things he had to do to make it possible for you and I to go to heaven. But right now, let's talk about what we need to do so that others can go to heaven, so that others can be reached, so that God can use our life, not somebody else, not somebody that we're supporting on all the countries and different places. And I love that. Y'all are a great place that is supporting others and getting the gospel to the other places. I love that. And that's why I love being here, and I love you guys. But I'm saying, let's make sure that we're doing what we ought to do. Amen. So that God can use us personally, the people we interact with in Moore, Oklahoma, in Norman, in OKC, and everywhere we're from, so that God can use us to be the difference in their life. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And so here we go. If we know that it's going to take anything that God asks, here's some things that God has asked of us. And I want you to see this. I really do. It's helped me out. We see in Titus 2:14, I want you to turn there. And please, you know, I want you to lock in and make sure that we're thinking. But if we're serious, and honestly, I say this in front of you people, and I'm not trying to be a hypocrite or anything. I'm serious about wanting to do all that it takes so that God can use my life to be the difference why someone is going to heaven someday. And if y'all are sincere about that, I want you to really take this to heart and see what God has asked. I see, first of all, in order for us to do everything that it takes, in order to be the reason why the gospel is given to the lost, it's going to take purity of heart. And I want to show you that. In Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, and this is talking about Jesus Christ, or it says the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, but in verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself, look at that, purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Of course, we see some great things in there. He gave himself for us. We're going to have to do that for someone else, for us to be the reason why there's fruit, why there's another Christian someday, while there's another lost person who's on their way to heaven, there's going to have to be some giving. There's going to have to be some time that's given. There's going to have to be all these things. But it only comes if our heart is pure. We think of all the things that can dirty our hearts. We think of the music. We think of the videos. We think of the movies, of our conversation. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? And so we think of all the things that can dirty our hearts, the things that it's easy for me to say wrong things, easy for me to listen to things that are fleshly. By the way, that's still wrong.
That's right.
It's not just, oh, no, we can, God's given us freedom, liberty, and grace, and all these. No, not for that. Not to be in the flesh.
That's right.
But we think of all those things that can dirty our hearts to where we're not pure. If we're not pure in heart, if we're not actively trying to purify our hearts, purify ourselves unto God, we're not going to be aware of all the ones who are lost around us. We're not going to be doing what we ought to do to get the gospel to them. If we're just, you know, reeling in the oldies, or we're going, you know, on our hard metal rock, whatever it is, I don't know. Or the movies we're thinking about, we're not going to be doing what we ought to. And what's going to happen is I'm not going to do everything that it takes. And there's going to be people that are cast into the lake of fire because of me. It'll be nobody else's responsibility but myself. I don't want that to be. So therefore, I'm not supposed to purify my heart. Then how do you purify your heart? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed thereto, to the words of life. This Bible, this word of God, this is the only way you're going to purify your heart. And if you and I are serious about wanting to do every single thing it takes to get the gospel to someone else, to be what we ought to be in terms of a witness for Christ, then we got to be in this word. That's simple, right? I mean, you guys know I'm not going to come up here and give you some profound thing. This is just what the Bible says, purified unto him. Purify your hearts, you double-minded, focusing on his word. That's what it takes. That's something that it takes, but not only purity of heart, purity of motives. Ephesians 6, and this is something that God has really dealt with me about, because sometimes we're like, oh, God, use me. Use me to do something great. Use me to reach that person, whatever it is. But without even thinking about it, we get that little pride in our heart that says, oh, yeah, I want to be used, but I'm really going to enjoy when they come to me asking about Bible verses, or they're going to come to me when everybody sees them at church because of me, and I'm going to make sure they know I brought them. We get that pride coming in because of our flesh. Amen. Purity of motives. Maybe I just want to look good in front of someone else who's serving God on their own. I want to just impress them or something. Purity of motives. Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Not just because, oh, well, you know, my fiance or something, she knows that I should be a person who's given the gospel, so I'm going to give the gospel just so that she's pleased. That's wrong. My spouse, my brother, my mother, whoever it is in your life, if we're doing it for them, we're not doing it for the right reason.
Right.
Doing the will of God from the heart.
Amen.
Saying, God, I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to purify my heart. I'm going to be in your word. I'm going to do that because that's what you've asked me to do. That's what you said is required for me to be the witness, to be the reason why others can go to heaven and know that they can go to heaven. I'm going to do that because you've asked me to. Not with eye service as men pleasers, not just so people can see, but that God sees. He'll reward. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Doing the will of God from the heart. It's going to take pure motives. And that's something that God has, and if you knew me, you knew me better, you would know he has. He's worked on me. He's still working on me every single week, every single day, to get me to say, Lord, it's not about me. 50 people on a bus, or 75 people on a bus, or 100 people in church, or 200 people, 500 people in church. It's not about just saying, hey, yeah, we had this many. Wrong reason. Right reason is, Lord, more people in heaven, because we've done obedience to you. We've done what you've asked us to do. That's the right reason. Saying, God, you've asked me to witness, I'll witness. I'll witness everywhere I go. I'll keep tracks with me. I'll have the Bible in my heart so I can go ahead and say, you know, I've memorized this verse. It's meant a lot to me. Let me share it with you. Those type things, saying, Lord, I'm doing it because I purified myself unto you, and I'm doing it from the heart.
Amen.
Doing what it takes. If we're serious about it, we'll do it. Purity of thought, right? Philippians 4:8. Purity of thought. And this is something that's great. If our thoughts are not on the right things, we're going to be in trouble. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If you and I are serious about getting the gospel to as many people as we can, both here and around the world, like we ought to, like God has given us his great commission to, then we've got to be aware of what we're thinking about. And more than that, not necessarily to say, okay, well, I'm not thinking about wrong things. I'm not thinking about coveting or lusting or saying, oh, hateful thoughts, whatever it is. Not just that, but are your thoughts productive? Are your thoughts true, lovely, pure, just, good report? Are they doing something good? Are they accomplishing something that God would be okay with, that he'd be honored by? That's honestly where we ought to be at. Not just, oh, I don't want to be thinking in the wrong way necessarily. Thinking the right way. Not just thinking, you know, I'm not really doing any good. Thinking in that right way, that tends to saying, you know what? If I'm thinking about, man, God has. He's been good to me. He didn't have to die on the cross, but he didn't have to have someone die on the cross, but he sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that I could go to heaven. If I'm thinking about that, chances are, when that 15-year-old's coming out of school and I walk by him on the sidewalk, I might say, hey, read this.
Amen.
If I'm thinking about that and I'm not thinking about the latest movie or the latest pop star or whatever it is, or the latest bill that I just got, if I'm not thinking about that, I might see that person walking towards me. I might see that person across the way at the gas pump. I might see that cashier that I've seen 1,000 times. I might see them in a different light and say, God, I know you want me to witness to them. I'll do it. purifying our thoughts, saying, not only do I want to stay away from the wrong thoughts, but saying, Lord, what should I think about? What's gonna help me do what I know I'm here to do, and that's witness to the lost. Be the reason why they can go to heaven. And so we see, we'll move on to the next thing. Purify the motives, purify the heart, purify the thoughts, and then the actions. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake unto righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Sometimes I read and I'm like, oh, well, you know, that's true. I should do something about it. And that's where it ends. It's to the point where it's shameful if I'm in sin and I'm not awaking unto righteousness and doing what I ought to do, and those people that are around me don't have the knowledge of God. It's shameful. According to the Word of God, I don't want to live a shameful life. I don't want to have a shameful judgment seat. I don't want that. Yeah. And I don't think you do either. So if we're serious about it, we'll say, Lord, I'm going to wake unto righteousness. I'm going to do right. Actively doing right. Doing good. Jesus went about doing good when he was on this earth. He was actively doing something. Not just saying, oh, I didn't do anything bad today. Well, did you do anything good? Did I do anything good? So convicting for me. And we see purity of heart, purity of motives, thoughts, actions. But that's not all that it takes. We can do that. We can be all that we ought to be personally in this circle right here. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit's power, if we don't have the power of God, we're not going to do anything. Right. If we do all these things, purifying the heart, the motives, all these things, the thoughts, the actions, if we do all of that, yet we don't ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, we're doing it in vain. Because if we're leaving out the Holy Spirit, we're leaving out what God can do, then the reality is, even though we say, oh, I've purified my motives and all these things, there's still that pride that says, I can do it on my own. If I'm good enough, then I'll be the reason why they're in heaven. No, if I'm what I ought to be in obedience to Christ, I still need his Holy Spirit, or I'll do nothing. And we'll see it where it talks about the vine, John 15:5, where we talk about, he's talking about he's a true vine. But we see in verse 5, and it's okay if you're not there. I know we're going kind of quick, and I love it. At least you get to hear it, and if you're there, that's great. I am the vine, Christ says. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's why we're here. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. But this last statement, for without me, ye can do nothing. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? Because without him, I can't do anything. Let that sink in. Why do I read that and I listen to it and then sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. I can't do anything without him. But then I don't go pray. I don't go ask for his Spirit. I don't go ask for him to work on that person that I know that I've witnessed to before, but they haven't gotten saved. I don't ask him to work on the hearts of the people who are living on a certain street that I'm about to knock. I space out. I don't even ask him for it. That's some pride. That's something that's keeping me from doing that. When I don't ask for the Holy Spirit, I'm not doing everything it takes to get the gospel to as many people as I can, to save as many from that terrible day of the great white throne. I'm not being honest with myself if I'm saying, I want to do everything. But I'm not. I'm a liar. I'm a hypocrite. I don't want to be that. Y'all don't want to be that. God doesn't want us to be that. He wants us to be true. He wants to purify ourselves like we talked about, but he wants us to ask for his help. Amen. Abide in him. And I ask myself, well, what's the best way? How do I abide in Christ? How do I have his Holy Spirit? Well, number one, I've got to want it. I've got to want it. I want a lot of things. I want food. I want to be married. I want to stay longer on spring break. All these things, I want those things. I would do almost anything for those things to happen tomorrow. But as soon as I start thinking about the Holy Spirit and, you know, his power to do something eternal, I get a little quiet and I get a little unmotivated. Why is that? Well, it's the devil, it's the flesh, all these things, of course. But we ought to get past that. I'm not going to just be like, at the judgment seat of Christ, Lord, the flesh was really tough. Sorry, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. What? There's no excuses. I want to do what I can now. I want to say, well, Lord, if I have to have your Holy Spirit, then I want it. In Luke 11, verse 13, I'll get there in a second. Luke 11 and verse 13, we see that if we want it, God will give it to us. If ye then being evil, this parable, I love it. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Sometimes I go before God and I'm like, oh, Lord, please give me your Holy Spirit. And I'm acting like it's an uphill battle. Like, man, if you'll just give it to me, please, I'm trying to get the equation right to get your Spirit's blessing. No. If we want it and we're sincere about it and we've purified our hearts and our motives, our thoughts, our actions, and we want it and we ask Him for it, He's not an unjust Father. He's our eternal Heavenly Father. He'll give it to us. We go around defeated. We go around like, oh, yeah, I know I can't do anything. I don't have God's power. Maybe, you know, these big names we could throw out, whatever. These great pastors of old, they had God's power, but I don't know if I could. You don't know if you could. Have I and have we read our Bibles lately? If we want it and ask Him for it, He'll give it. He'll give it to us. That, to me, that encourages me. That says, wait a second. If He'll give me His help, if I do my part, if I'm obedient to Him, if He'll help me, then I won't have to be shameful on my judgment day. I won't have to look people in the eye on their great white throne judgment day and say, I'm sorry, I was the reason that you're going to burn for eternity. I don't want that. I want to be able to say, you know what, Lord, I did what I could. I asked You for Your Spirit. You were just and true to Your word, and You gave it to me. And for that reason, there's hundreds, thousands, millions. Who knows what it could be? There could be millions of people in heaven because of You, if we were just obedient. Because of me, that blows my mind. A million people? Tens of millions, 100 millions? How limitless is God's power? That's how high the number could be. If we would just say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to purify myself. I'm going to do what I know I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to ask You for Your Holy Spirit. I'm going to want it, and I know You'll give it to me. And we see that that's not all it takes. It doesn't just take the purifying your heart and all these things that we've talked about. It doesn't even just take the Holy Spirit. We could have the Holy Spirit and sit on, you know, our pews and take a nap all day, and nothing's going to happen. If we're not obedient, if we disobey in this one area we're going to talk about, we'll be done soon. Please, I'm glad that you're listening to me, and hopefully you're knowing it's just the words of the Lord. But we see that if we do all these things that we've talked about, but we leave out this one ingredient, then we're still going to have a shameful judgment day. There's others who will be in hell because we didn't do our part. And it's this part of the simple, it's so simple, but this part of simply obeying God's command to go and tell. Yeah. I think I overcomplicate it sometimes, and I'm shameful, because if you saw the opportunities I had this week that I passed up, you'd be like, why are you even talking to me right now? But it's God's word talking to you. It's not me. He's convicted me about it. I hope He's convicting you about it. But I think of the times where I overcomplicate it, and I say, well, God, it might be awkward, you know, at this grocery store. I don't know if they want to hear about it. He says, go and tell. And you can feel it. If you've got Christ inside you, you can feel it. You can hear Him say, tell that person. Give him a track. Explain the gospel. Encourage them to be in church. Ask them if they know they're going to heaven. Just ask them if there's any doubt. Those are simple things. As simple as going and telling. Like He commanded in all of the gospels and in Acts and all throughout the Bible. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, right? In Mark 16:15, He talks about this, and I want to get the words right, so forgive me. Mark 16:15, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He says it's simple. If you and I, being honest with ourselves, are saying, God, I want to do all I can. I want to do everything it takes to be the reason why someone else is going to heaven. If I'm honest with myself, then I have to say, you know what, Lord, You've told me to go and tell. You told me that if they believe it, they'll be in heaven with You. I have to just say, you know what, I'm going to do it. We have to say, you know what, I'm going to purify my heart, purify my motives, my thoughts and my actions. I'm going to say, God, I'm Yours. I'm sanctified to You. I'm not in the world. I'm not going to act like the world. I'm not going to dress like the world. I'm not going to think like the world. I'm not going to listen to the songs the world listens to. I'm not going to give in to the fleshly lust that the world gives into. I'm going to say, God, I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to say, God, I want Your Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be indifferent. I'm going to realize that I'm not enough. I'm going to realize that I need You, that I can do nothing without You. If I'm going to realize that, and I'm going to say, God, I want it, He'll give it to me. And what will happen is, if I simply obey and I go, it's as simple as simply as saying, you know, walking past that person and saying, you know what, my name is Jason. I'm from a church. This is an invitation, but more important than that, explains how you can go to heaven. How simple is that? There's no reason for me to yell. There's no reason for me to be like, you know, bless God. It's simple. Man. Go and tell. Ask for His Holy Spirit. Realize I can't do anything without Him. Purify my heart, purify my motives, my thoughts, my actions. And I can be the reason why someone else is going to heaven. I can fulfill God's will for my life. I don't have to live in defeat saying, oh man, I'm a terrible Christian. Lord, help me. Thanks for being long-suffering. No, I can say, God, you've asked me to do something and I'm going to do it. I'm going to just simply obey, simply submit, simply realize I need you. And you're going to do something great. If we're sitting in here and we have no vision, we have no thought that, hey, maybe we should be larger than we are today. Maybe there should be more Christians in this house of God than there is right now. Maybe next week, if we're not thinking that next week there should be someone saved that wasn't saved this week, there's a problem. If we're not thinking that, then we're not right. If we're not thinking that, God, I know you can do it. If you give me your Holy Spirit and you'll help us do it, I know there can be someone saved from the subdivision back there, whatever it is, these middle-class homes, the rich neighborhoods, the poor neighborhoods, there can be people saved next week. There can be people saved tonight, tomorrow. We push it off. We say, oh, man, I'm going to send money away so that somewhere else someone can get saved. Okay, that's great. But what about now? What about out the grocery store? What about your neighbor? What about your brother, your sister, your cousin? Amen. What about that? God has called us to that life of reaching them. And if not, then we'll have to see Him face to face on their great white throne judgment day.
Right.
And we'll have to say, I'm sorry. But that's not going to cut it for eternity. That's not going to be okay when we say, God, I know you gave me that opportunity, but I didn't feel like it.
Right.
I was too caught up in the music I was listening to. I was too caught up in even good things like spending time with family. That's not a good excuse at the judgment day. And laziness is not a good excuse. And laziness is not a good excuse for my dad, much less my heavenly father. I'd get beat if I was lazy. Good grief. But God, I don't want God to look at me and say, why didn't you do something? Why didn't you just purify yourself? Why didn't you stop sleeping and being dead to the righteousness that I wanted you to be out? Why didn't you just awake?
Right. Amen.
And do what you're supposed to do so that some could have the knowledge of me? Why didn't you do something? I don't want them to have to say that to me. I want to do what I ought to do right now so that, like we always talk about, I can get that well done, thou good and faithful servant. I can look at God and say, God, with what you gave me, and when you think about the parable of the talents and these things, God, with what you gave me, I did what I could. And we all can witness to a neighbor. We all can say, God, I'm going to purify myself. I'm going to read my Bible today. I'm going to talk with you, spend time with you, meditate on what you've told me. We all can do that. I don't care how old or young we are. I'm going to say, God, I'm going to ask for your Spirit. It's not hard to ask. Now, at this point in my life, I ask my parents for money sometimes. No, but we it's not hard for me to ask. I can ask my Heavenly Father for His Spirit. He'll give it to me. And that's what I need to be fruitful. He's the vine. I'm the branch. I need Him in order to make the difference. And if I go and tell, He'll make the difference. I can do that. You can do that. God will help us do it. And guys, I just want us to go ahead and go to prayer here really quick, and Pastor's going to take it over. But please, let this sink in. We can be the difference. We can be the difference maker for someone having to spend eternity in hell. Just think about that. They can have the great white throne judgment and be sent to eternal damnation, or they can have the judgment seat. They get to be eternal life. And God has put it in our court. He said, it's up to you. We either are obedient to His will, we'll do what He's asked us to do, or we won't. We'll either be shameful, we'll have to be ashamed in front of Him, or we'll be able to say, God, I obeyed. I did what I could. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless now as we think about these things. I pray that you'll help this church, Lord, to keep going for you, to do what they ought to do in light of the Great Commission, in light of reaching out, in light of, Lord, even myself and all of us, just to live the Christian life, live the way that you've outlined in your word, so that we can be ones that you can bless, you can give your Holy Spirit to, you can help us reach others. God, let that burn in our hearts. Let us think about the destination that's awaiting them if we don't do something. God, I love you. Thank you for saving me, the ones I love, Lord, for coming to them. Pray that you'll work in the places where you know we'll be, Lord, soon at the gas stations or the restaurants or the airports, whatever it is, Lord. Help us to witness everywhere we are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let's have an invitation tonight. Maybe the Lord spoke to you about something tonight.